Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we have a fan favorite back on the podcast, Chantel Nelson. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Oh, I love being a fan favorite. That makes me feel special.
You are such a fan favorite. Yeah, so good to see you because we're in different countries.
Thousands of miles away.
I know. This is the first time we're actually recording on an online platform. So it's very exciting to see you. And so, guys, if you haven't listened to past episodes, Chantel has her master's in counseling psychology, and she's a therapeutic life coach, mother of three, wife. She runs a membership called Thrive, and you can go along and follow her on social media. But I thought I'd have you on because you put out a podcast on reparenting. And when I think of inner healing, I think of there's different pillars in healing, and they involve like the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And there's all these different modalities that we can kind of go into. But one thing I think is super important to kind of know on a healing journey is this concept called reparenting. And so I wanted to have you on to talk about that. But also, I think we've all been in situations where we're like, that person is acting like a five-year-old. They're a grown-ass adult. And so we want to talk about like why we revert back into our child part of our brain, and we want to dig into that. But do you want to kick us off by sharing what is reparenting, like this concept?
Yeah, I think in the simplest terms, it's giving ourselves the love, the care, the affection, and the attention that we never got growing up. I'm always very sensitive when I use words like reparenting and things that kind of go viral in pop culture, because oftentimes they can get really tainted and really twisted. And I think reparenting has almost taken on this, we kind of blaspheme our parents and we say mean things about them, and we kind of, it's all about us, and it's like the me healing journey kind of a thing, and it gets very me focused. And I think the true nature of reparenting would be just simply to give yourself what you didn't get growing up. And the ideal for reparenting would be able to have new experiences with your parents, because they would be getting healing along the way too. Obviously, that is not the gold standard, and that's not the norm for people. And so oftentimes it's us holding a safe space and giving ourselves the needs that, meeting those needs that we never got met growing up.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that you bring up that kind of, I feel like a lot of people talk about their therapist on TikTok, and kind of like it can turn into this blame place where we constantly can feel like, wow, I didn't get so much from my childhood. I just feel so deficient or not capable in certain areas. But I think the hope inside this concept of reparenting is that there can be a resolve. And I actually think that the more we heal these parts, we actually see more beautiful memories of our childhood. Because I think that we walk around pretty distorted in the way that we view our childhood. Or some people, I don't know if you have this with clients, but a lot of people actually like don't remember their childhood, so they don't even know where to start. Do you find that with working with clients and things like that?
Yeah, I definitely find, specifically if there's more trauma, a lot of people don't remember their childhood. But I also think that the millennial generation has been kind of primed to search for everything in our childhood. And so our parents not kind of responding in this way one time. Now we've hyper focused on this moment and they didn't create a safe space for us. And we should have set up a boundary, and it can feel very sterile almost. Yeah. And we're almost searching for places where our parents didn't come through. But I'm a parent now. And I'm like, if my kids go searching their past in 15 years to find places where I come up short, they're going to probably find something every single day. Mm-hmm. And so I think reparenting, there has to be grace for being human, but also it's like this two sides of the same coin. There has to be compassion and grace to be human and permission to be human, while also validating that we, because they got it wrong, we were hurt. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times people focus either on, well, they just did their best, they didn't know any better, that's just the way it is, or they pendulum swing to the other side. And it's like, they ruined my childhood, they were always doing this X, Y, Z. And so I think we have to kind of balance the two. Everybody's doing the best that they can with what they know. But at the same time, sometimes our parents' best wasn't the best for us. Mm-hmm. And we have to validate and own that too.
Yeah. And I think that, I don't know if you find this as well, is sometimes we're really loyal to our parents, and with the idea of saying, oh, that was painful, or there was, you know, there was pain in that area. Sometimes we can have denial, and we don't want to even face that or talk about that because we're so loyal. Yes. And so it's kind of, I love that you're bringing up those tensions. And what do you, have you found like a healthy balance in like, hey, I don't want to disrespect my parents, but I also need to like look into the way that I'm wired and what I'm, why I do what I do?
I mean, I think from a biblical perspective, the only command with a promise is honor your father and mother. And that's like, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say if they were nice to you, if they did it right, if they parented you properly. And so I think we can still honor our parents while also validating where we didn't get our needs met, where they got it wrong, where they missed the mark, where they didn't see us, they didn't meet our needs, they didn't. And so I think it's just finding that own balance for yourself. I think anytime we hyperfix on something, we're going to find evidence for that. Like if I look back at my childhood and found places where my parents were checked out, I would find evidence for that. Every single person would. But I think it's figuring out for yourself, what do I need to be able to heal so that I can continue to move forward? I think a lot of times in healing, we can get super stuck in the past, and then we can kind of adopt this victim mentality that I wasn't raised properly, or my parents did a horrible job, and so this is basically what I'm paying because they got it wrong. And so I think we have to, what do we feel like we need to be able to heal from some of those experiences so that we can forgive, so that we can move forward, and so that we're not carrying that burden.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think I've heard that the root word of honor is honesty. And so it's powerful because truth also sets us free. So like when we are truthful and we're honest, there's also like power inside of that as well. That's so good. I know for people listening, I was talking with someone the other day and they said they would listen to podcasts about emotional health, and it would be like kind of like they're underwater hearing things. And I know for everyone listening, sometimes talking about the childhood, like even I taught in my class, I was talking about Erik Erikson's developmental, like child development, and like what we need at different ages to develop fully as a human, as a fully functioning adult. And I literally, when I teach that class, like people, every time I teach it, people will either fall asleep or they'll check out, and there'll be like this like slump in the atmosphere. And I think that it's because sometimes it's like our nervous system kind of, it can kind of flood us. And so I'm just kind of sharing that only because this area is super delicate for some people, especially. And just encourage people maybe to talk to someone about it, but also not go into deep introspection about like everything that you didn't get. So you talk about like, I don't know. Do you have anything to add onto that?
I mean, just as you were talking, the relationship you have with your parents is the only relationship that you have that's like that, right? We have multiple kids. I have a bunch of friends. I have different mentors and leaders that speak into my life, but I only have one set of parents. And so my experience is my experience. And oftentimes we actually can't see outside of our experience. And so I was talking with a client the other day. Her husband had a super emotionally, verbally abusive, I mean, we would call it abusive childhood, like just lots of words being said, physical abuse even happening. But her husband couldn't even come around to kind of having a conversation about how painful that was. And it's, you kind of block yourself from almost the reality of it because it's all you ever knew. And so if you have to face the reality that that was abuse, that was trauma, that was painful, then that means you have to look at your entire life from the beginning to where you are now and through a different lens. And oftentimes people don't have the emotional capacity to be able to do that. So it's easier just to kind of write it off and be like, well, that's just how it was in my family, because it would be so painful to have to go back and look at all those different ages and stages where your parents didn't show up for you. So I think, like you said, it is really sensitive. It's very unique because everybody's experience is different. And oftentimes you don't know what you don't know until you see something differently, or you listen to a podcast, or you get inner healing in some kind of a way. And then you, it almost begins to, like, all of that stuff is almost kept in the subconscious. And then once you start to kind of shine a light onto there, things kind of start popping up and bubbling up to the surface. And then once you really look there, you'll probably see a whole bunch of stuff that you just never saw because you didn't, you either didn't need to, you weren't able to because you had to survive, or you just didn't know how to. I think a lot of the language that we use in the emotional health space is putting language to process, putting language to experience that we don't ever really put language to growing up. We just are kids in a kid world, and we don't put language to that. We don't put language to the fact that mom shouldn't be yelling at me this way. It's just how we grew up. And so I think, like you said, entering into this space with compassion and tenderness and gently, and not feeling like you have to go digging up the archives of your past. What needs to come up will come up, and you can kind of journey alongside that.
Yeah, that's so important that you shared that. That's so good. I mean, I feel like it'd be good for us to share some personal examples of, like, how reparenting has helped us. And then we'll go into talking about, you've mentioned in your podcast, you did a podcast, I'm just blanking on what your podcast is called. Showing Up.
The Own It Podcast.
Own It Podcast. I know it's about showing up. You really go into really digging into, like, all the concepts around reparenting. So I'm going to link that in the show notes, and we're going to hit on some of the 12 key areas for reparenting. But I just want to, like, I think what has been most helpful for me is, like, with reparenting, and I'll get you to share some examples for you, is sometimes, well, noticing, like, when I'm really triggered, often my thought distortions will go into, like, absolutes and all or nothing thinking. And that's how we are when we're kids, like, from zero to 12, like, we think that all of this is bad. Like, if I'm having to have a babysitter come and take care of me, I have a tantrum because I think my parents are abandoning me, but they're going for 2 hours, you know? And so sometimes my emotions can be like that. And I think the biggest thing, you know, in the Bible, it talks about it's the children of God, like, children who enter the kingdom. And I know for me, like, when pain, like, being the second oldest child, I took on so much responsibility, and it wasn't even my parents who put that on me. It's actually, like you were mentioning, like, it's actually my interpretation of like, what happened as a kid. So sometimes it's not even about what your parents did or didn't do. It's connected to how your little kid brain interpreted what happened. And so it's been helpful because I have been in so many situations, and I'll notice, like, I'll be a full grown adult and I'll have to go into like a conference call or an important business meeting or something and feel like I'm seven. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like I'm 7 year old, and like, we don't want a 7 year old running a meeting, you know, yeah. we don't want, you know, but it's helpful to be able to identify, like, that's my little kid self that didn't feel smart at school or capable. Yeah. And so I have gone on the journey of giving her comfort and like changing the narrative for her so that she's not stuck in like, well, I can never run a business because I'm not smart enough. That's like, you know, and often where we get stuck. And so I think when, because you talk a lot about being stuck, and often it's because I'm stuck in like a child's mindset, which is all or nothing mm-hmm. thinking. So those are some helpful kind of ways that I've been able to see things, but I'd love for you to share like what, how has reparenting influenced your life?
Yeah. I oftentimes talk about maturity and development on a spectrum. And the ideal would be that emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, we develop all at the same time, right? So if I'm 36 years old, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, I'm 36 years old. But what happens, it doesn't usually work out that way. And I experience this a lot with clients who have been through trauma or who have seasons of medical issues that they've had to deal with, where it stunts your maturation process. It stunts your ability to grow and mature mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever kind of area or realm that pain happens in. And so oftentimes what we see in clients, and you would probably know this, you'll have a 36-year-old woman client who, like you said at the beginning, acts like an 8-year-old emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it's because she was never taught, for many reasons, could be many, many reasons, how to manage herself in stress or how to engage with life in stress or how to use healthy coping skills to be able to process through a hard thing. And so she gets stuck emotionally or mentally or physically. And so healing is oftentimes, I mean, mostly what healing is the reintegration of parts that were meant to be together, right? The Bible talks about wholeness, but we're not always whole because life situations and circumstances and people break us. And so we get disintegrated. And so reparenting is going back to those little parts of ourselves that maybe didn't get nurtured, didn't get cared for, didn't get attention. And so that part that didn't get cared for is going to keep acting like a 6-year-old until she gets that need met. And then that can grow. That's healthy development. That's healthy maturity. And as you were talking about experiences that we've had that have kind of shaped this or where we've reparented ourselves, this might be a different kind of example because it actually involves my mom, but this would be the ideal situation in terms of reparenting. Not, and I'm saying this, that not everybody has parents who are actually able to do this, but this would be a picture of what it could look like for you to do this with yourself or for you to do this with a therapist or a coach or a friend. But a couple of years ago, my parents came to town to visit, and I don't know, my mom out of the blue kind of said, in a couple nights, I'd love to sit down and talk about your childhood. And they've been doing their own healing journey over the last couple of years. They've gone to therapy themselves. And so she sat down and she just wanted to ask about, are there any areas where you felt like we couldn't show up for you or we didn't show up for you?
And that's so brave.
Really, I know, so brave.
I'm proud of your mom.
I don't know if I would want to sit down and ask my kids that.
But
she's so humble. And because I could have said anything. And the areas that I brought up were not feeling like they validated my beauty enough. And because my mom was like, that's so confusing to me because when I look at Zara, which is my daughter, she was one at the time, all I can think about is how beautiful she is. And she was like, maybe along the way, I just stopped telling you that. But she's like, she actually said, none of this matters, the reason why I did or I didn't. But the fact of the matter is you didn't feel like you got that from me. And she really validated that. She really, she prayed over that with me. She asked like how that affected my childhood and my growing up years. And I said, that's why I turned to guys and boyfriends, is I didn't feel like I got enough affirmation in who I was at home. And I went and searched that out elsewhere. And so we just kind of had this time together. I brought up a couple other things. They both just kind of took ownership of those things.
Wow.
And then the next morning they left and they flew back to Canada. And that morning my 7-year-old son was going to kindergarten the next day. And I had all of his school supplies and I was labeling all of his things with his name, just writing his name on these labels. And it was almost like I had this like flash of, I was back in my early elementary years and I would just see my mom's handwriting. I can see it so clearly, her handwriting saying Chantel on all of my school supplies. And I had this moment where I realized it literally changed the lens that I saw my entire childhood through, because this pain got addressed. Whereas before I had this lens of, my parents were never really there for me. They weren't able to emotionally. They weren't taught how to do it. So they weren't able to do that for myself. And I kind of set up this boundary as though they're never going to be able to meet this for me. And it shaped my view of my entire childhood. But when we went through this healing process together, it was like in that moment I saw everything differently. And I just like cried as I was writing my son's name on all of these school supplies, because it like you said, the pain got sucked out of those years of my childhood where I felt like, oh, they don't think I'm beautiful, or they don't call me beautiful. And my mom got me this cute little cheesy thing that it's like this little wooden ornament, and it says like, always remember to my daughter, you're braver than you believe, stronger than you think, more beautiful than you imagine, and loved more than you know. And she gave it to me and highlighted the beautiful part. And this is what reparenting looks like for ourselves, right? Because we can do this for us. We can hold this safe space for us. Obviously, the ideal would be our moms could do that for us. But I would say that the majority of us can't say that that could happen. And so being able to do this, I do this with clients all the time, where we go back into childhood years of needs that never got met, beliefs that were formed. I'm not enough. I'm not beautiful. I'm not smart. I'm not. And usually these beliefs are attached to some kind of a memory, not being picked on the school softball team, or being called not the smart one by a dad who was making a joke or something. We have these kind of like flashback memories where these beliefs are formed. And the thing about kids is they don't actually have the ability to externalize experiences. They internalize them. And so they hear things, whether it's a whispered conversation between mom and dad after they went to bed, whether it's a moment where mom got frustrated because they spilled milk on the floor and that they took it out on them. And kids don't have the ability to be like, mom's having a bad day, or mom and dad are just trying to figure out that I'm not doing really well in school. So they're having these late night conversations about me that I overheard, but it's not about me. She was just having a bad day. They just internalize those experiences. And some of us could even recognize now, like, oh man, I have so many experiences in my childhood where I took that on myself, that I didn't have the cognitive capacity or the cognitive ability to actually be able to externalize that information and make it not about me. And so reparenting allows us to borrow the frontal lobe of an adult, because that's a thing. It was when we're kids, our frontal lobe isn't developed. And so we don't know how to put those pieces together in a coherent way. We, like you said, we just kind of create the story in the way that we think it is. And then that becomes this overarching black and white belief, but it's just our interpretation. But if you think about kids, they don't have really great interpretations of reality. That thing is developing along the way. And so reparenting is being able to go back into those moments and memories with a relatively fully developed frontal lobe, either your own or a coach or a therapist or somebody else, and be able to bring healing and validation and care and love and compassion in a moment where not everybody had the cognitive emotional ability to do that in the moment.
Oh, that's so powerful. And as you're sharing that, a memory came back, that one that I actually worked through in therapy around, because I think for us as women, body issues, feeling beautiful is such a pain point. And like you mentioned, we like look to get validation in all these areas until we start to get to the root of what's happening. And I remember working through a memory in childhood where I was like probably in the 11th grade, like getting a formal dress. And I remember being my mom going around to so many stores to like find a beautiful dress to wear to this thing. And I had so much self-hatred and I felt so bad about myself and trying on all these clothes and like felt terrible. And because I was kind of getting to the root of like, what did I internalize about my body and about how yeah. my beauty and all of that sort of thing. And then the counselor, as we're kind of working through all the kind of lies I picked up from that scenario, she was actually able to help me see how much love was available there, but I just couldn't see it. Like, and it was a powerful moment. Like, my mum was there, probably her heart aching, seeing me in so much self-hatred, but she was so present and there, and it actually reshaped that memory that actually, even though I was in so much hate, love was still there. And I was able to change the way that I view myself, that love is, you know, and I think I would have just like glossed over as like, that was a bad memory. No one was there for me, but actually love was there, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's powerful to kind of have those kind of, like you talk about, like, it's almost like we need to, the more you heal, you get complexity and nuance in your story. It's not as black and white, you know?
Yeah. And when you think about shame is like such a guarding reality. Like, so when you're in shame, it doesn't matter how much love is coming at you. Shame is like a guard and a block to where you can't actually let that in. Like, if you were to have brought down the shame of, I feel so inadequate right now, and I'm going to just tell my mom, I feel so horrible right now and nothing fits me, the love probably would have been able to get in. But when we feel shame, nothing can really, I mean, I experienced this in my first year of marriage. I had so much shame around my body and the way that I looked. And it didn't matter how much my husband told me, you're beautiful, everything about you is perfect. He could have told me that from the beginning and middle, end of the day, and I wouldn't have ever got in. I would have needed him to continue to feed that. Yeah. So when we have shame around those parts or those memories, it's so hard for things to be able to get in. And so in the reparenting, we're able to look back on that with, maybe there's still some shame that comes up from that moment, but less shame because it's less emotionally charged.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. So we'll kind of like wrap up, and we've basically been talking about these things, but we'll hit on some of the 12 keys of areas where you can reparent, and everyone can go listen to Chantel's episode to like dig more into it. We've sort of highlighted talking about emotional regulation, self-worth, coping with stress and attachment. Is there any particular one you'd want to hit on first?
What do you think? Are these my 12 areas?
They are yours.
I went through them. I was like, wow, this is so good. This one's so good. I didn't know they were mine.
They are yours.
When I do podcasts, I kind of just like word vomit and then I don't really know what comes out. And I was like, I highlighted so many of them. I was like, these are so good.
This is your genius.
Before, this is my.
Yeah. Okay. This is your genius.
I mean, I think I'm so big on attachment.
Yes, because you did a course on it, right? You've studied attachment theory.
Yeah, I've done a couple courses on attachment. And attachment is, again, one of those things, again, that's kind of gets blown up in pop culture, but the research behind it is so strong. And there's a great book. It's called Attached. I think it's called The Science of Adult Attachment. It's by a guy named, he's a PhD. His name's Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. And they just kind of break down attachment styles from a layman's perspective. Like, how would I know so there's four different types. There's the avoidant, the anxious, the secure, and the disorganized. And if you really get into the research, it's like anxious avoidant, I forget all the different kind of sub attachment styles you can have.
Yeah, fearful avoidant. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you can't really talk about reparenting without talking about attachment, because attachment forms that foundation that we build everything else on. And so if you're trying to reparent, but you have an avoidant or an anxious attachment style, you're kind of just like trying to chop off the fruit without getting down to the real root, which is the attachment style that you have. And I would say for me, I don't know about you, mine's more of like an avoidant attachment style. Yes. I tend to my husband calls it like, I go off on my island. And it was great language when we were early married, because you can kind of just like disconnect and drift away and you're no longer there and nothing real, you don't really care about anything anymore because you're off on your island where nobody can hurt you. And so being able to figure out what your attachment style is or what your bend is more towards is just like the bread and butter of reparenting. Because in recognizing that avoidant attachment style, I can recognize I didn't feel like a lot of my needs were met, or I didn't feel like when I had a need, that my parents really saw it or were able to meet it. Again, this is my own interpretation. If I looked at it a little deeper, I'd probably see a lot more information. But attachment, that foundation of how can I actually create secure attachment inside of myself with God and with other people, just really is the foundation for so much. Because from a secure attachment, you can build great coping skills, you can set really healthy boundaries, you can have compassion for yourself, you can deal with failure in a better way. But if you don't have that secure, stable, safe, juicy attachment with yourself mm-hmm. and with other people, then it's just like you're going to be kind of grasping for your needs to get met. And you're always going to be grabbing some kind of coping mechanism or stuck in some codependent cycle because the foundation isn't there, which is a healthy, secure attachment.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of people, well, even if you mentioned codependence. So I think that if we didn't get something in our childhood, we can like try and get it met in someone else and become complete. Or we just learned codependent relationships growing up where narcissistic kind of having narcissism in our life, we play a role from our childhood till we learn security. That's so good. And so what are some examples of how you see attachment? Like, how are you building like a secure attachment with your kids? Like, how do you kind of mm-hmm. work on that?
I mean, the research shows, and this is so comforting when I heard this, it's from decades of family research, where you only have to get it right with your kids 50% of the time to build a secure attachment. I don't know if the research has changed, but 5 out of 10 times you can get it wrong, because it's not about the rupture, it's about the repair. We're all going to have ruptures. There's ruptures all the time in my marriage. If we miss each other, we get it wrong, but it's all about the repair, which creates secure attachment. And I find with my kids, after I make a repair, we actually end up becoming closer with each other because there was this time where I had just had, or Zara was really little, my daughter, and she was sitting in the kitchen and I was making popcorn for my other two sons, and I forgot to put the lid on the popcorn, and the popcorn started popping everywhere. My son had to like move my daughter out of the kitchen. I was losing it because there was hot oil all over the place. So I yelled at my kids to like get them out of the way because I wanted to try and protect them. It was just a swirly day. And at bedtime, I told them like, I'm so sorry for how mommy acted, but you need to know like mommy's not perfect. And I had no idea they were going to do this, but they burst into the tears and they're like, you're not perfect. Yes, you are. You're perfect. And I was like, no, I'm not perfect. And I can't have you see me as perfect for the rest of your life, because I'll be put on this pedestal and I'll never be able to make a mistake, which a lot of times we think that with our parents, is we just assume that they're supposed to get it right all the time. And that's just not real life.
Not
and
possible.
So not at all. And so with my kids, it's like I repair every time I rupture, whether that's me saying things in an unkind way or me being a little bit impatient or snippy. And I just apologize. I'm so sorry. Mommy was trying to get you out of the door. I rushed you. That probably didn't make you feel like you could be yourself or move at your own pace, whatever. And so I think for me, I have to kind of give myself permission to make mistakes, because I feel like as a millennial, as somebody who's been kind of raised in this like self-help, emotional wellness kind of environment, my biggest fear is something that I do, sending my child into a therapist's office. Yeah. And I can't live like that, because I won't parent freely. And so I wouldn't say that I do it perfectly by any means. I think I'm just out here trying to figure it out myself. But I would say, from the research and from my own parenting experience, It's all about the repair. How can I take ownership of where I got it wrong? How can I communicate what was okay, what wasn't okay? How can I validate what they were probably feeling? Because that's what's going to keep them from internalizing that moment and help them, teach them how to actually externalize moments like that, where I was like, that wasn't about you. That was mommy. Mommy didn't manage myself properly. Teaching them how to externalize those moments so that they don't carry those kinds of things throughout their life.
Good. Yeah,
the
that's
the best
so
way
good.
That I can.
Yeah, it's never perfect. And it's so out of control with kids, because it's like you have very different personalities interpreting their childhood very differently. So
no, and they lose their minds all the time, and I lose my mind.
Yeah, totally. Sort of in wrapping up, I think that as people who follow Jesus, Christians, the beautiful thing is the way that the Bible talks about God is that he's a loving father. He's a parent, a compassionate parent. And I think that, like, we, you know, our parents will come up short for us. Our friends will come up short. Our spouses will come up short. And, you know, the Bible talks about God being the all-sufficient one and basically fills up all our insufficiency to make us whole. And sort of in closing, like, what's some biblical perspective on reparenting?
I mean, that's just the perfect picture of secure attachment. And is you first and foremost have to have secure attachment with God. Because if you build your security and your safety and getting your needs met on a human, you're always going to be disappointed. Not every time, depending on how healthy of a people you surround yourself with, but my husband is always going to get it wrong. And so if my security and my secure attachment is based on him and his perfection, he'll never meet that mark. And if it's on my parents, they'll never meet that mark. And so first and foremost, we have to build secure attachment with God, because he's the only perfect one. He's the only one who will never get it wrong. And so when people fail us, which they will, like, my job as a parent isn't, yes, I want to create secure attachment with my kids, but I want to teach them how to have secure attachment with God. How that he is the meter of all of their needs, that when they're scared in the night, they can turn to him because he's there even when I'm not. Because one day I'm not going to be there. And one day maybe my husband won't be here, or vice versa, whoever dies first. But our security has to be in him. And I think when I was, I don't know, I had this revelation when I was doing so much research on attachment. Obviously, the attachment research doesn't show secure attachment to God, but that is our source, is getting our ultimate need for security and love and attention and affection, affirmation, our needs getting met, being celebrated. That comes through him first, and everything else is just a cherry on top.
That's so good. I love that. That's such a beautiful way to end the podcast today. And I love this, because ultimately I think, because this podcast is surrounded by, like, the next brave thing, courage, ultimately we want to build an internal safety and security internally. And the reason why I had you on and to talk about this topic is more because once we start making sense of our childhood, it actually starts to build some internal safety within you and empowerment, because you feel, you know, not like this overwhelmed little kid walking through life, you know?
Yeah.
So any closing thoughts as we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, I think attachment is a journey. Reparenting is a journey. And I think we can't get so stuck on where everybody got it wrong, what's broken in me. I think there's grace for seasons of that. But ultimately, we live in a broken world, and we're doing our best to navigate different parts of ourselves and becoming the most healed, whole, set free people that God has created us to be, so that we can live an abundant life. But it's a journey. And I think concepts like these can kind of give us a little bit of a guide, like set bumpers up when we feel like we're just tossing our ball down and we have no idea kind of where to go. But at the end of the day, we just have to trust that what God has put inside of us is enough, and that if stuff comes up, we can face it. We don't have to go digging, that we can just live and move and have our being in this life. And if things need to get brought to the surface, like, God is going to be the one to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And God usually brings people into our life when we're ready to surrender to that process.
Yeah. Or even people that heal those parts of ourselves along the way, and we don't even know it, just by their attention and their care and their affection. It actually heals things in us without even us having to go digging for it.
Yeah, that's so good to be aware of that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. I can't wait to see you in person sometime in the near future, I'm sure. One day soon.
Yes, I hope
thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.